Welcome to Card Knock Life. This is episode 70. Did you know that, Daryl? Episode 70. This is a milestone for us.
Jesus, man.
Yeah, we are over the hill. I mean, we were over the hill. We are clearly over the hill. We've been eating off the Denny's senior menu for quite a while now.
Wow, I didn't know.
$5 Grand Slams and stuff.
I mean, I'm in with $5 Grand Slams.
this week, we've got some stuff happening in the world of Magic. Not necessarily in 75 card constructed, but there is, I think, the most significant news coming from the world of 100 card constructed, or 99 card constructed, however you want to see it. And that is the Magic Online Commander changes. And this is nothing to scoff at. This is, like, functionally, this is a brand new format, if you ask me, with this brand new ban list that we're introducing here. And so there's like this, like, straight up, we are like going to be supporting Commander for the first time on Magic Online, but we're not going to be supporting like the grassroots Commander. We're like going to just like take over this thing and like introduce our own ban list for this 1v1 style Commander, which is like very like anti like the idea of Commander, which is sitting down at a table with some friends and having fun and having no rules in like and ban lists, you know, like that sort of thing.
So really, let me kind of go over it with the, I got the thing pulled up. What they think is that most of the Commander being played on MTGO is 1v1. So in order to allow folks to have an experience with Commander that, you know, this is mostly a 1v1 format, so let's optimize the format for 1v1 and allow people to play for prizes. So I mean, in those leagues that you're going to see, there's going to be like standard leagues for friendly leagues. You'll see, you know, the more powerful or more, you know, aggressively built Commander decks take advantage of the fact that you're starting with 30 life. So instead of using the actual French Commander rules, which that already exists, they're kind of making their own list, which is really awkward. I'm going to see if I can find French Commander real quick and see if I can pull up the list and run them side by side.
Yeah, I don't know if it's French or Canadian, but basically there is a variant of 1v1 Commander, because obviously, like, you know, like I said, Commander is designed to be a format where you're playing with like three or more players, you know, and the fact that you can have like some kind of lopsided like starts and as far as tempo goes because of like the variance of a 100 card deck is kind of mitigated by the fact that you have multiple players kind of like focusing in on whoever's in position of power at any given time. But when you're playing 1v1, it's very, like, it feels kind of like playing Legacy when your decks are, like, fully powered up. So the ban list is much more important, and you really have to regulate these, like, sort of oppressive combos much more carefully. And so the I think it's the Canadian or the French version, I don't know which one it is, but one of them assigns point values to certain cards. And basically,
that's
the Canadian one. Okay. And basically, the ban list functions where you have 10 points. And once you've fulfilled those 10 points, you can no longer include any of those, or not banned, but restricted, basically. You can no longer include any more of those cards in your deck.
Correct. So that's,
go ahead
that's
with the explain the French ban list now.
Okay. So the French ban list is 1v1 Commander, start at 30 life. So pretty similar to dual Commander, you know, what they're coming up with. Let me grab the rules real quick. So the rules are the same as multiplayer Commander, except players start with 20 life. In addition to put the Commander back in the command zone, if it would go to the graveyard or be exiled, you may do so if it would also be put in your library. So before the tuck rule was a thing, where you couldn't have your general tucked, for 1v1 Commander, they allowed you to not have your general tucked.
Okay.
And so that's really, so the only difference is you basically start with 20 life points and then the ban lists.
I see.
Yeah, and so I've got the ban lists side by side here, both the 1v1 and dual Commander ban lists, so the French and the new ban lists. And so I'm going to kind of go over the French the MTGO Commander list. And try and go through these categories and then take a look at the dual Commander current ban list and sort of pull out other cards that, you know, may not have been touched on by the dual commander ban list.
All right, before we even get to the ban list, though, let's just break down the details of this whole thing.
Oh.
Because there are a couple things we kind of skipped over. And you mentioned this already. You already alluded to this. You do start with 30 life in this 1v1 format, but that's not true for the multiplayer. There's still going to be a multiplayer version of this where you're going to start with 40 life. But for the 1v1, you're going to start with 30 online this version of Commander, which it sounds like they're going to be coming up with a specific name for, probably to avoid some sort of confusion now that we have French Commander, Canadian Commander, Magic Online Commander, and like all these different versions.
Yeah, so the key here was originally this was going to be for, this ban list was going to be for both Commander setups, so they backtracked and made it just for the new 1v1 format that they're building.
Yeah. So this came out recently, May 5th, this was updated, because of some outcry about, you know, basically this is sort of like our format, you know, Wizards is taking over this ban list. And now basically they're sort of saying, we're going to give this a shot with the 1v1 version. And then when Hour of Devastation launches on July 5th, we're going to maybe see, you know, how this goes. We're going to maybe refine this system a little bit. And this multiplayer version of the Commander is going to have sort of a different sort of ban list than the 1v1. But go ahead, let's hear the differences in this 1v1 ban list compared to what we're expecting for this franchise.
So I'm always going to start with the 1v1 ban list for MTGO, tell you kind of what's missing from the dual Commander ban list or what's additional. So we have the first category is fast mana. So mana that, you know, in this very sort of fluctuating format of, you know, the thing about 1v1 is it's a format that, since it's all one-ofs except for basics, there's a lot of variance because you're not going to always draw your Black Lotus if you played it, or your Fast Bond, or your Gaia's Cradle, or your Mana Crypt. You know, you could go whole games without drawing that card. And so a lot of times you'll see this in multiplayer Commander. You know, if everyone, it all starts being equal, the guy who has Soul Ring usually wins the game, because they get far enough ahead that they can take advantage of having Soul Ring, or everyone focuses him or tries to kill their Soul Ring so that, like, they can't get so far ahead that, you know, everyone else's plays don't matter.
Oh, 100%. It's like drawing pocket rockets, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's got it in their deck. Just who's going to see it first?
Who's going to get there first, yeah. So I'm going to go over the fast mana version. We have Black Lotus, Channel, Fast Bond, Gaia's Cradle, Mana Crypt, Mana Vault, Mishra's Workshop, all of the Alpha Beta Moxen, Soul Ring, and Talarian Academy. All of those seem legit. I have no gripes for any of those being banned whatsoever. So in the 1v1 commander list, you have an additional fast mana Ancient Tomb. You have both Black Lotus and Channel. They included Chrome Mox. Both have Fast Bond. Both have Gaia's Cradle. They included Grim Monolith. Both have Mana Crypt, both have Mana Vault, both have Mishra's Workshop. Mox Diamond was included on the 1v1 list, or on the dual commander list from the French commander. All of them Moxen. Soul Ring is on both. And Talarian Academy is on both. So it looks like the French, the already current, or the original 1v1 format, has more bans on the fast mana. So Magic Online is going to allow a little more fast mana in, you know, Ancient Tomb, Chrome Mox, Mox Diamond, things like that. So,
All right. I
think that, you know, that's sort of a mistake. Like, if you're going to try and make this 1v1 format an actual thing, you can't have games where the guy who draws Ancient Tomb is, you know, a turn ahead of the other guy the whole game. Like, City Traders is fine, because if you play another way and you sacrifice it, but, like, being able to have Ancient Tomb in play, even if you only use it 15 times, 15 times is a lot of times.
Yeah, they make it sound, though, Daryl, like they might get there, too, though. They might start with a less restrictive ban list and get there. Based on this explanation,
sure,
it says they're going to be very reactive because the idea is that this is going to be a fun format. They're saying this isn't one that's going to have, like, pro tours and GPs and things.
Absolutely.
It's going to have leagues and queues, so...
yeah, absolutely.
We're gonna react and update this as it goes. So we might have that on there.
Okay, so section two is combo enablers. And I'll just read their quick description. These are a myriad of powerful combinations available in the format.
or there are a myriad of powerful combinations, but these cards are either essentially single card combos, examples being Hermit Druid and Protean Hulk, or extremely efficient at enabling other combinations. Finding four cards with Gifts Ungiven being one of their examples. So they have Bazaar of Baghdad, Doomsday, Entomb, Food Chain, Gifts Ungiven, Hermit Druid, Protean Hulk, Survival of the Fittest, Time Vault, Tinker, and Yawgmoth's Bargain. So if we take a look at those combo enablers, Bazaar of Baghdad is not banned in French. Doomsday is not banned in French. Entomb is. Food Chain is. Gifts is. Hermit Druid is. Protean Hulk is. Survival of the Fittest is not. Time Vault is, which is pretty straightforward. Tinker is, and Yawgmoth's Bargain is not. So all those are pretty straightforward. I understand that Yawgmoth's Bargain probably shouldn't be banned. Like, six is easy to get to, draw a bunch of cards. But, like, Tinker, Time Vault, Protean Hulk, Permit Druid, Gifts, Food Chain are all kind of no-brainers. I'm really glad about Entomb and Doomsday. You know, so, I mean, I pretty much agree with that whole list. There's nothing that really seems, like, too busted.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny to see Protean Hulk just getting the unban
in multiplayer.
Paper Commander, and now like just getting put on this list in the command. You know, and this is what we talked about. Like when we mentioned last week that this was getting unbanned, and we had the discussion about why in God's name would this get unbanned. It gets regulated in a multiplayer game where three people can focus on one problem causer, but in a 1v1 game, if that one other opponent doesn't have the answer to that combo, then
you're dead.
Just SOL. And when you're playing queues and when you're playing league matches where something's on the line and you've invested some kind of capital into the game, it's like
just being dead on turn three or something like that.
Yeah, so you really do have to take care of those. But I feel like there's got to be something that we've overlooked in this list. This seems like too short of a list for
another section we might see that in there for like cards that might make the game unfun. So let's get through the whole list and then we'll kind of see what's missing or what's not. So we have Oppressive Commanders. So these cards are just straight up banned in general from decks, but the following cards are also banned from being placed commander. Okay, so the French list bans commanders, but doesn't ban cards. So, like, these cards are allowed to be played, but not as a commander. And then, whereas over here, these cards are just straight up banned. So the oppressive commanders are Arkham Daxon, Braid's Cabal Minion, Derevi Imperial Tactician, Edric Spymaster of Trest, Areo Sartami Ascendant, Gristlebrand, Raphelos Landwar Emissary, Yisan the Wandering Bard, and Xur the Enchanter. No complaints. I mean, Braids, no complaints. I don't ever want my opponent to play any of these cards as a commander. Like, no complaints.
Yeah.
So, for the French list, they do not have Arkham on the list. They do not have Braids. They do have Derevi. They do have Edric, Arayo. They don't have Gristlebrand. They have Raphelos. And they do not have Yisan. And they have Xur. The other commanders that they just banned as a commander but are still legal in your deck are Brea, Ethereum Shaper, Marath, Will of the Wild, Aloro, Ageless Ascetic, Tassigar the Golden Fang, and Vile Smasher the Fierce.
They banned Brea.
So Brea can't be your commander in French, but it can be in your deck.
Is it that good? Is there a combo?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you have Lion's Eye Diamond and Oryx Salvagers, or you have any way to make infinite colored mana, you can just play Brea infinite times and sacrifice Stalkers to kill your opponent.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
You know who's not on here is Leovold.
Leovold not on either of these lists. It's not even, not even on here for 1v1 commander. Because I think in 1v1 it's completely fine. Like, it's kind of oppressive. It is, because, like, the reason I think that Leovold was banned for multiplayer commander is the difference in the misery, like, The misery of having a whole table get time twisted while you have a Leovold in play is much like it's much more detrimental for Commander for that to happen than to be playing 1v1 games against Leovold.
Uh-huh.
But I mean honestly, like that's
yeah.
Like if you're gonna have a competitive format, you just can't ban everything that's like even decent. Yeah, but like I do think that like Leovold oppressing a whole table is just it's so egregious. And honestly, I don't think Leovold would be banned from being in your 100 if the multiplayer commander setup still had banned as commander. They got rid of that and just banned the card straight up.
Right.
So I think if they still had banned as commander, I don't think Leovold would be banned from being a card in your deck.
Fair enough.
So there's that. Okay, so now we're going to go to the other section. These are just cards that are blatantly too strong or very strong but not particularly fun to play against. And so we're going to go through this list. Okay. So they have Ancestral Recall, Back to Basics, Balance, Humility, Caracas, Library of Alexandria, Mana Drain, Mind Twist, Moat, Natural Order, Necropotence, Oath of Druids, Sarah Ascendant, Tabernacle, and Time Walk.
Yeah, cool. That all looks good. Sarah Ascendant, I'm happy to see that on there.
Yeah, all pretty legitimate there. So they have Ancestral Recall, Back to Basics. So on the other cards that are too powerful, they included Dig Through Time.
Oh yeah.
They have some of the various dexterity cards are banned, like Chaos Orb and Falling Star. So I'm not gonna call those out because those aren't on Modo. Humility is banned. Caracas is banned. Library of Alexandria is banned. Mana Drain is banned. Mind Twist is banned. Moat is not banned. Necropotence is not banned. Oath of Druids is banned. Sarah Ascendant not banned. Tabernacle banned. Time Walk banned. So other various strange cards. So the last set is just multiplayer bans, so none of these cards are going to be banned in the French list. But other various cards that were banned in multiplayer for the French list for various reasons that weren't particularly on this list, Dig Through Time, very good combo enabler. Imperial Seal and Vampiric Tutor, both. They just kind of eliminating those. Very, very strong tutors. Demonic Tutor is not banned, however, which seems strange, but acceptable in some way. Loyal Retainers is banned, which makes sense. For those who don't know, it's 2 and white for a 1/1 human advisor, I believe. Yeah. And you sacrifice it, return target legendary creature from your graveyard to the battlefield. Activate this only during your turn before attackers are declared. So basically, you just get to reanimate a legend from your graveyard before you attack.
Now, it's worth noting these multiplayer pointed bans, too, because I think they are going to affect the 1v1 format.
Yeah.
But they're...
We'll come back to them as soon as we get to the strange things that are banned in French.
Oh, you got more. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's more stuff in French that wasn't banned. So Mystical Tutor banned in French. So it looks like all of your top of deck tutors, but Enlightened Tutor, which seems kind of, and Worldly Tutor, which seems kind of strange. Natural Order, Necrotic Ooze, Strip Mine, and Strip Mine and Treasure Cruise. So and Scheherazade, but that's not a Modo. So various other powerful cards. And then we come down to the multiplayer pointed bans: Biorhythm, Limited Resources, Painter's Servant, Sensei's Top, and Trade Secrets. So Trade Secrets is a dumb card. It won't affect 1v1 commander, really. I don't think it's particularly correct for them to ban Sensei's Divining Top, because their issue was for logistical reasons. But if it's not a multiplayer game, it's not going to cause logistical issues. Now, the French list has it banned because it is just a powerful magic card to just be able to fix your draw every turn. And, like, games where you have top are, like, much better for you than when you don't. So I understand. Painter's Servant... it combos with Grindstone and Iona, but like I don't think that's particularly egregious. It's really bad to have that happen in a multiplayer game where you play Painter's Servant and then put Iona into play. So, but I don't think it's I don't think it's busted in a 1v1 game. I think it's completely fine.
I don't understand why that would be described as a multiplayer pointed ban. I think it's just straight up like a combo enabler is what it should be categorized as, if anything.
So Painter Servant isn't egregiously terrible, like in a 1v1 game, because like you should be able to play certain locks in a 1v1 game. I think it's completely fine.
Sure.
But like Painter Servant enabling stuff like Jaya Ballard or Celestial Purge or various other cards like that is not particularly great.
Yeah. Okay.
So I mean, it feels kind of bad in a multiplayer game when like. If you play a Painter Servant and then somebody says, like, pick up all, like, your opponents pick up all permanents of a certain color, and so all of their permanents are a certain color, and so they pick up their lands and everything, that doesn't feel particularly good either, so.
Yeah, well, I understand why it's bad. I mean, I'm just saying the categorization of it. Like, calling these multiplayer pointed bans seems strange in some ways. They're, whatever. Anyways, the Sensei's Divining Top on this list seems like a missed opportunity for some damage control with the Legacy ban most recently, and with a lot of people losing out on value on Sensei's Top, this like with this format and this ban list specifically being for 1v1, that seems like a good opportunity for Wizards to be like, hey, here's something to do with your tops.
Yeah.
So maybe they could work that one back into the playable column because it really doesn't seem to be a big concern for time. And especially with the chess timer on Magic Online, it's like, it's your time. Like, you're going to lose the game if you're going to
play the clock. Yeah, you figure that top out, yeah.
Yeah, so you could play Miracles in Commander if you wanted to, and that would be maybe some a bit of consolation for that.
Yeah, the other two multiplayer pointed bans, limited resources is completely reasonable, but it's never going to affect 1v1. It's a 1-mana white enchantment. When it comes to play, each player chooses 5 lands he or she controls and sacrifices the rest. As long as there are 10 or more lands in play, players can't play lands. Not particularly fun. And then Biorhythm, which is just each player's life total becomes the number of creatures they control.
Which means that your opponent loses the game.
yeah, if you set it up correctly, your opponent loses the game.
So there are a couple of notable omissions on here that are glaring to me, which may or may not be a problem, but, I'm sure there are more, but the two that scream out to me are Mind Over Matter is a big one. And I don't know that one's really on a lot of commander lists, but that one is a pretty big combo enabler. And then Palancron is another one that I don't see.
I mean, let me pull up the commander ban list.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that, because there was one card for me that just, like, jumped off the page. And I guess it's probably not that bad if you ban Gaia's Cradle. But the card that jumped off the page for me was Primeval Titan.
Yeah, and that was the third one for me, Primeval Titan.
So let me go through the commander ban list and just shout out cards that jump off the table for me as cards that were not particularly good. So now this does change a little bit now that it won't be both the 1v1 and multiplayer commander list. It does kind of change my opinion. But cards that sort of jumped off the page for me, Panoptic Mirror, Primeval Titan, Recurring Nightmare, Sundering Titan, Sylvan Primordial. And those are really the only ones.
Yeah. Sylvan Primordial may be more value in multiplayer, but...
Yeah,
certainly good in 1v1 too.
Yeah, like Coalition Victory is a fine card. It costs 8. If you're casting that in multiplayer commander, or 1v1 commander, you're doing it anyways. So like, not even concerned. But Panoptic Mirror just being a 1-card win. Primeval Titan just gets you Urborg and Cabal Coffers, and it's just super busted. Prophet of Crucifix is fine in 1v1 because you're only playing on 2 people's turns, so not a huge deal.
Yeah.
But Recurring Nightmare, very busted, and that's really all I got, like, as far as the active. But yes, there's like you said, Palancron and Mind Over Matter, those are just cards that should probably be banned in Commander anyways. Like, Palancron, Mind Over Matter, like, the super obvious enables all of the combos, Deadeye Navigator, like, those cards should probably have some reckoning to them in Commander anyways.
Yeah, they should.
But you leave those things out there so people can play with the cards they enjoy. So, I mean, it kind of push and shove.
So how about this? What's going to be in, let me preface this question first. This is certainly going to become a competitive format. I know that when they make this post, they say, oh, you know, like we want this to be a fun format. Like that's what it is first. And like, it's a 1v1 format, but we want it to be fun. And that's our goal, but we know Magic players. This is going to be competitive, right?
We're going to try and break it. Yeah.
We're going to be starting with some friendly leagues. We're going to be starting with some queues, but this is going to get bloody real fast. And we're going to break this. We're going to find out what the most gnarly combo, degenerate and aggressive strategy in Commander is.
Yeah.
Quick. And MTG Goldfish is going to post lists. MTG Top 8 is going to post lists. And this is going to become a much different game.
Hot garbage, yeah.
What do you... And I don't know if it's going to be bad. I mean, I think I'm excited about this. I like the fact that we're going to have this option to play Commander. Like, it's actually pretty affordable right now to play Commander online. I feel that that it's probably not going to be the case a year from now. I think a lot of these Commander cards that are like 3-4 cents right now are going to be like $7-8. So
get them out.
But looking back, you know, like a year ago when I bought a Commander deck for 30 takes online, and like I go and I play a free game online, whatever you call that.
Yeah, sure.
Tournament practice room, that's what I'm looking for. And I have to wait like literally like 7 minutes to get a game. And then I play a game against a guy that just like combos off against me, or like a game against a guy that has like a really janky, like crappy, like deck built with a bunch of commons. Like, you never really know what you're going to get, you know? Now, like the reality of this is people are going to have like tier decks. Like, you're going to get like matchups with like tier decks, and it's going to take like a minute or two to load up your queues if this catches on the way that I expect it to. And I don't see why it wouldn't, you know? This is going to be the real deal. This is going to be a thing. Just as strong as the standard online presence is what I would expect, because
that's a high bar.
You think so?
I don't know, but that just sounds like a very high bar.
I don't know. I've got high hopes for this Commander thing. I think that there are a lot of people that are really interested in doing this.
Yeah.
Maybe standard is a little steep, but I think standard's kind of tanking right now, so maybe that's not as high of a bar as it was, like, you know, maybe in the days of before Cat. All right, so the question I want you to answer is, what do you think is going to just like be the go-to Commander? What do you think? Pick the top five builds, the top five Commanders.
Top five Commanders.
One year from now, when this meta flushes itself out.
I'm not even getting close, because I'm just thinking of like the most broken Commanders I can think of, or like things you can do that are very broken.
That's
right. Like,
that's exactly what you need to think about.
Jaleva Storm.
Jaleva. Which one's Jaleva?
The Grixis one that both players exile the top X cards of their library.
Oh yeah.
X is the amount of paid mana for it.
Uh-huh.
And then when you deal damage, you can cast one of those cards without paying mana cost.
Okay.
If it's like an instant or sorcery, I think.
Yeah.
It's Jaleva and Nefalia's Scourge. But it's just like a Grixis Storm deck. Barrago Stacks.
Barrago Stacks, all right.
Yeah, like some mono blue deck. I don't know what the commander is going to be. I don't know if it's going to be Talrand, or Vidillion Click, or Urtai, or I don't know what generic mono blue commander it's going to be, but one of those 2-3 mana mono blue commanders just casting all of the counter spells and comboing.
Sure.
So like, I don't know. I also don't know what commander is going to get played for this, but like, I think it's going to be the general archetype of Elf Ball.
Yeah.
Like, I know that Gaia's Cradle's Man, so that's like a big hit to it, but I don't know if it's going to be Silvala or Riss the Redeemed or Momir Vig or Azuri Claw of Progress or Azuri Renegade Leader, the mono green one. Like, but some sort of elf strategy seems like something you would run into. How many more you need for me?
I don't know. That's enough. I mean, it doesn't really matter how many you say, but basically I'm just looking for kind of an idea. Yeah, I was looking for five. Yeah.
And then, like, there will certainly be some sort of graveyard deck, whether that's Caridor the Ghost Chieftain or Marin of the Clan Neltoth, or, you know, so there will be a graveyard deck, clearly. Sure. We know that people will play graveyard decks. All right. So, like various, like, a graveyard / toolbox strategy will exist. So, I mean, I don't know exactly what collection of what is going to, like, who those commanders are going to be, but I think those are sort of the main archetypes you can kind of see coming out the gate, that these are the things I think you're going to have to be aware of, is, like, Storm and various combo decks, Mono Blue Counterspell, Dredge, like some sort of graveyard Dredge style deck, the aggro decks, whether they be Elf Ball or Goblins or, you know, whatever aggressive deck you're looking to play. You can play Mono White, Voltron, you know, that category of deck. And then the Stax decks, whether they're Brago or like Mono Colorless or like Mono Blue Stax, you know, Mono White Stax with Hakori or Thalia or other Thalia, you know, whatever collection of generals. Because it's really hard to determine, you know, like who's going to want to build around what commanders and how they're going to build around.
Right, right.
Like, I think those are going to be, like, your general archetypes that you're going to see.
Sure. So, check this out now. If we look onto MTG Goldfish's commander list, and these are basically posted, like, user-submitted decks for the most part in some, like, various, like, kind of random, like, commander events, many of them multiplayer, so take this with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
These are, like, the most submitted commander decks or the most posted commander decks.
Sure.
And all within like 1% of each other, very close, because people truly do play like what they want to play. The most played deck is Atraxa. Praetor's.
Atraxa Planeswalkers.
Yeah, the Planeswalker Proliferate token deck. So I don't know how great that's going to be in 1v1. Probably not great, right?
I mean, the Planeswalker deck is kind of fine. Like, it's not horrible. Yeah. Like, if you can slow your opponent down enough, then you just, like, punish them under the weight of a bunch of Planeswalkers.
Yeah, and then the second one is Brea, which is banned, so we can skip that one.
Not banned in 1v1 on Modo.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
No, it's not. Nope, that was the French list that had it banned.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Let me look back at that.
Positive.
Okay.
Arkham, Braids, Derevi, Edric, Arayo, Crystal
Brand. Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Yep. So not yet.
Yeah, Brea artifact combo, whether it's like Shroom combo or Eggs combo or some sort of weird Unwinding Clock, Aether Grid combo, like whatever.
All right, then the next one is Marin of Clan Neltoth.
Yeah, Clan Neltoth, the Dredge deck.
Neltoth. Yeah. Oloro, which is going to be like an Esper control deck, which I'm hearing is probably going to be like one of the top contenders for this 1v1 format as like this blue, black, white control deck.
Yeah. I haven't played enough 1v1 to think about, you know, cards like Thoughtseize and Duress and Inquisition are actually going to be playable.
Yeah.
So like, I can see like your mono blue counterspell deck I was talking about.
Yeah.
Just being like Esper and playing like Swords to Plowshares and Fatal Push and bunch of stuff like that, and just Thoughtseize, Inquisition, Mind Shatter, just like discard, card draw, removal,
yep,
like random thing to kill them with, probably Aloro.
Yep. Then we've got Yidris, Maelstrom Wanderer. That's the Cascade.
The Cascade General. Yep.
Brago, which is Blink.
Yeah.
Nekuzar. Omnath, Locus of Mana. That's the green red Omnath.
Yeah, the landfall Omnath.
Yep.
Narset, I forgot about.
Narset, Enlightened Master, which is basically, that's going to be a good one for 1v1.
Narset Armageddon's, yeah.
Yeah, Narset Armageddon's. Tassigar is always a top pick.
I actually hesitate to think that you're correct about Narset being great for 1v1.
You don't think so?
Because a lot of the fast mana is banned.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's true.
It's really hard to get out in front and Armageddon your opponent or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Because you can't just go like Mana Crypt, Sol Ring Signet, you know, Second Signet or Gilded Lotus into Narset, attack you, just have haste. no, it has Hexproof. But like turn 3 or 4 Narset is going to be much harder. You have to draw like one of your two Signets, or like you have to draw very specific cards. You can't get out in front of your opponent with a ton of fast mana. So I think it might be a little harder than you think to get out in front of your opponent and do that thing. But yeah, sure. I can see Narset. I don't think Narset's not going to be a player, but I think it's going to be a little trickier to get out in front with it the way you want to.
Yeah. So I guess my picks for some of the most played in 1v1 will probably be like I'm thinking we're gonna have a lot of Tasigur because you always do.
I don't think we will. I think you'll see more if you're gonna play Sultai. I don't think you're incentivized to play anything other than Leovold.
I don't know. I think you'll see a lot of Tasigur. But
I mean, you could be right, but I think that Leovold is just the better. Just the better commander, because like your opponent has to kill it, or you're just gonna beat them down with commander damage, right?
Yes.
So you always get to draw a card when your opponent tries to kill your commander, and so and then your opponent can't play like various card draw spells like Skull Clamp and Fecundity and all their blue draw spells, and their cantrip guys don't work. So like you put your opponent in a place where they're not drawing a lot of extra cards, and so I think all of that combined is going to make Leovold better than Tasigur.
Leovold's definitely good. He's also 42 takes, so maybe it'll hold it down a little bit.
That's true. I mean, you might see the budgetary restriction of Leovold costing as much as a whole commander deck almost being the reason why Leovold isn't in their commander deck. So,
I'm thinking probably a lot of Gitrog Monster. That's a really good good 1v1 commander.
Dredge style. Yeah,
Dredge style. And then actually Xenagos, green-red Xenagos might be a good cheap deck to get in on the ground level, and then easy one to upgrade too. So I'm thinking that at least in the early months, we're probably going to see a lot of people playing that style deck.
It's a little tricky to play that deck without all the fast mana. Like, at least from the build I've been playing, like, I don't play, like, all the fast mana, but, like, not having, like, Ancient Tomb, Sol Ring, Mana Crypt is going to slow you down a little bit. You know, I mean, you'll end up playing like 2 or 3 extra lands. Like, I already played 38 in my Xenagos deck, so you might have to go up to 39 and then play like a Rampant Growth or something. Like, maybe a Haro. I don't know. But,
Yeah, well, we're already seeing prices be affected by this. Aloro is like 10 tickets right now. So.
Isn't it really?
Yeah, if you are reacting to this and you're thinking, like, now's the time to buy in, yesterday was the time to buy in. But it's yeah. I mean, they're certainly going to trend upwards. So, like, if you're interested in playing, you better buy in, like, stat, yeah. You know, get your stuff. Because this launches on the 10th, and that's when we're going to have these leagues and these queues available. Now, we didn't mention the prize structure and the entry fees for these, and it's pretty typical, pretty standard, like, compared to, like, what we expect for the standard and modern queues and leagues. Basically, 80 play points or 8 event tickets to play in one of the friendly leagues, which there are only going to be friendly leagues to start. And with 5 wins, you can get your 80 play points back and 8 treasure chests. Which really blows that you can't actually net any points, and we'll talk about that later.
I mean,
with 4 wins, you get your 80 play points back and 4 treasure chests. With 3 wins, you get 80 play points back and 1 treasure chest. With 2 wins, you get half of your entry fee back, 40 play points. With 1 win, you get 20 play points. And with 0 wins, you get 10 play points.
So, Corey, I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah, go on. You're going to tell me that your treasure chests have value.
Yeah, so if you don't open them,
yes.
Which I never do. They sell for 2.5 tickets.
Okay.
Or 3 tickets or something like that. I think it's like 2.5. I don't remember right off the top of my head. So they sell for like 2 to 2.5 tickets or something. Or 2.5 to 3 tickets. Mm-hmm. So if you win 8 treasure chests, you win 20 tickets, which is enough to play in 2 almost and a half more commander leagues. So you're getting your money back. You're asking for more play points. They're giving it to you in a better way. They're giving it to you in event tickets, so that if you need to pick up a card for your commander deck, you can sell your treasure chest for event tickets, use your event tickets to get your card, put it in your commander deck, and then go back to playing commander.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I like the treasure, as long as the market doesn't get
too saturated where treasure chests drop below like 250. I think that treasure chests are very good for that part of the economy that, you know, you want play points. Well, you can open play points if you want to open your treasure chests, or you could open a $60 card, or you could just sell your treasure chest for 2.5 tickets and get your tickets to play in your Commander League game.
Yeah, so like, you're not going to be out. Treasure chest, then.
You prefer the treasure chest now? I've convinced you?
No, I'm asking you. You prefer the treasure chest?
I prefer getting more treasure chests to more play points.
All right. Fair enough. All right. That's a whole other conversation. Let's save that for another day. But let's go on. Let's talk about the Commander Qs. So for the Commander Qs, 2 event tickets are 20 play points. You get the idea. Same as any other Qs. 1 yep. win, 30 play points. 0 wins, 5 play points. So,
yep. Same as 2 main Qs for every other format.
Exactly. With this, Wizards absorbs 5 play points from every Q that launches.
Yes.
Yes.
Don't ever play Commander 2 main Qs.
I mean, it's true for any kind of Qs. But there's something about a Q that is short and sweet, and it gives you that competitive edge, and there's something on the line, and if you want to play with something on the line where someone's not going to bring some crazy-ass deck to the table, that's how you can ensure a competitive game. And it just might be worth that.
Or you could join a Commander League where you would theoretically play 5 games with something on the line every game, and theoretically your opponents wouldn't bring junk to the table.
That's true.
And save yourself 20 play points.
Yep.
But worth noting on these 2-man queues, each player will have 20 minutes of clock time. So it says on the 2-man queues, and I assume it would be the same way for the Commander Friendly Leagues. That's 5 minutes less clock time than you get playing Standard. And there are a lot of combos in Commander that can be particularly difficult to execute in a limited amount of clock time. Oh, but it's only 1 game. Never mind. I should have read that part. Completely fine. Totally good. Yeah, it's only 1 game.
Yeah. All right. Cool. There's
still combos that are particularly difficult to maneuver. So, like, be careful with your Safi or Extender combos and your like Oryx Salvage LED combos, your infinite mana combos. Be careful with those because, like, it's gonna take some time to build up mana or build up Scry so you can get to the Blood Artist you need and kill your opponent with that. Like, that'll take time. So be particularly careful with your clock on those.
Yeah, that's worth noting. I think that the clock is gonna play out much differently than any other kind of format. This is certainly a format that is going to suck clock time more than anything else. You get into the most ridiculous stalemates. The interactions with cards in something like EDH is just so much more unpredictable.
Yeah, it is.
Something like Standard or Modern. So
yeah,
you get some really odd board states.
I would imagine that, you know, these 2 and 3 color decks, instead of seeing like a lot of Palindrome combos, I think you'll see more likely Tooth and Nail combos for things like Kiki Jiki, Zealous Conscripts. Or, like, you know, you're going to build your deck in such a way that your combos aren't going to be, like, super click intensive and difficult to play out. That's why, like, when you say Xenagos is a commander you expect to see, I 100% agree with you, because Xenagos is going to be one of those commanders that is very easy to kill your opponent with. Click here. Oh, you're dead! Like, you know? Get you with this Blightsteel, attack you with a Malignus. You know, there are a bunch of one-shot creatures that take care of business with Xenagos.
Yeah, no kidding. Just, like, insert any big dumb creature plus Xenagos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think just playing the whole strategy of, like, let's just beat face as fast as possible is a very relevant thing to do in that. And, like, debatably, like, just burn / aggro could be, like, one of the best things to be doing.
I mean, you could definitely see something like Zozu the Punisher be a very, like, Zozu the Punisher land destruction, to where you play, like, Dingus Egg and destroy your opponent's lands and deal damage to them, and then, like, your opponents play lands, they take damage, like, Occam Nishro, stuff like that.
Yeah, right on. All right, well, let's switch gears here. We've got a Pro Tour coming up. We got to talk a little bit about that before we close out the cast. We are at about 45 minutes here. But I do want to spend just a little bit of time predicting what we're going to see at this Pro Tour. We're doing a lot of predicting today. I know, particularly in this realm here, I know, and we're going to do our best, Daryl, but we had a weekend go by with some limited GPs and limited Star City Games Opens, but our second ever standard event, large-scale event, is going to be the Pro Tour with Amonkhet involved, I guess I should say. And so with a couple of other, like, Moto League results under our belt here, we've got a meta that's kind of starting to shake out since SCG, what was it, Atlanta? Atlanta. And so, as you can remember, we had a bunch of Mardu vehicles decks in the top eight there. We had some black-white zombies showing up. We had some Thermal Alchemist. We had some Delirium. We had some humans. And then since then, it's starting to kind of lean a little more heavily towards mono black zombies online, blue-red control online. There's plenty more Mardu vehicles to be had. But also, there's a lot of talk about Teamer Aetherworks like making a really big showing at the Pro Tour. So our current meta looks like this online. We've got 23% of our meta is Mardu vehicles, 8.5% is Blue-Red Control, 8.5% is Teamer Aetherworks, 8.5% is Black-Green Delirium, 7.5% Green-Black Energy, 4.6% is Mono-Black Zombies, and then the rest. And it's just a smattering of other decks.
Yeah.
So, what are we going to see? You know, this Pro Tour could totally blow this thing out of the water. It could totally blow this thing open. Are the pros just going to come packing Mardu vehicles, just be like, hands down, this is the best deck. There's no innovation to be had. We're just going to just beat face with Gideon. Nothing can beat it. It's GOAT. I learned about GOAT this week.
Oh, the greatest of all time? You learned about being the GOAT?
Yeah.
So, like, honestly, I'm not going to be surprised if, like, I don't necessarily know if it's going to be Mardu vehicles. Like, I mean, vehicles is a very loose translation at this point. But I could see, like, a Mardu mid-range deck, because, like, the top end of the Mardu deck with Gideon and Glorybringer is just so high in power level. Yeah. That, like, you just have to figure out how to get to Gideon and Glorybringer. Like, figure it out. If it's Heart of Kieran and various 1 and 2 power, you know, knuckleheads that turn into 3/2s, like a Toolcraft Exemplar, then it's that. If it's, like, 3 mana Gideon, making emblems to keep you from losing the game, that's the thing, sure, I'm fine with that, too. Like, if it's, you know, Heart of Kieran, and I just think that, like, those three cards between Heart of Kieran, Glorybringer, and Gideon, there's so much power there that I don't see how you don't figure out a way to make a deck happen there.
Some of these vehicles decks, many of these vehicles decks, are, like, taking the anti-Glorybringer approach and are not running Glorybringers in the main deck. They're running Archangel Avacyn in the main deck, which, I suppose you could respond to Glorybringer, flash it into play, make your creatures indestructible, and then block and kill the Glorybringer.
Correct.
Yeah, so, I mean, looking at, like, the most recent 3 Mardu Vehicles decks that placed on competitive online have exactly that kind of package. They're like, yeah. 2 Archangel Avacyn.
I'm going to be honest, I just totally forgot Archangel Avacyn was a Magic card.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it in a list. But, yeah. like all of those cards, when you say the names of those cards, you're just like, how is there not a deck in these 2 colors plus a 3rd color, or just these 2 colors, or however you want to orient this? How is there not a deck here? Like, that seems like a deck, and I think it's going to be a really hard to beat deck. I think it might, whatever variants of that shell people choose to play, I think is going to be the best deck in the format.
Yeah.
Just because of the sheer power level of the individual cards in the deck.
You know, this wedge has always been something that, like, has always had, like really good gold cards that have incentivized playing it. Like I remember when like Dark Confidant was in standard, and even like Falcon Wrath Aristocrat was in standard, and Boros Reckoner was in standard, and like people were trying like Mardu decks and they just couldn't quite get there. They were just kind of wonky because they couldn't get card advantage, you know, like even with Dark Confidant.
They couldn't get card advantage or they couldn't get the mana to work right.
Right. There's just something awkward about them and they just like would stumble. But for some reason, right now, it's like everything is just made for like the Mardu wedge. And like,
Veteran Motorist plus what's the stupid 1-2 guy?
Thraven Inspector?
Yep, the one that makes a clue. So like just like those guys filtering your draws, Gideon just making 2/2s. Heart of Kieran just making it impossible for your opponent to attack. Like, you know, all these pieces are coming together to help you play a longer game and pull.
You know what it is, Daryl? It's Unlicensed Disintegration. It really is the haymaker, though.
Is it really? I wouldn't have thought that was just the best card.
No, it is the hands down. It is the reason to play this deck.
Interesting. So it's the reason why the deck is playing black because. Like, we named that whole Archangel Avacyn, Gideon, a lot of the creatures seem to be white, so it sounds like the black card is Unlicensed Disintegration.
Yeah, I mean, on its own, 3 mana, instant speed, destroy a creature is playable, right? There's really nothing else in the format that does it like that. And then tack on a lightning bolt to the dome.
There's actually murder.
Yeah, there is murder.
So there is another card that does that. But yes, getting the free damage from having a Heart of Kieran in play is pretty cool.
I should say there's nothing in the format that does it better than that.
Correct. So. You're 100% correct.
But then on top of that, now we've got Cut to Ribbons in this deck too. So Cut to Ribbons is the 1 in a red, 4 damage to target creature with basically takes care of everything in standard right now, including Glorybringer and Archangel Avacyn. And then on the backside of that is a Firebolt.
A Fireball, yeah.
Or Fireball when needed.
Just being able to store Fireball in your graveyard is really powerful. I totally agree.
Yeah, so this deck is really scary. It's very terrifying. Hopefully that's not the case, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is. I wouldn't be surprised if Mardu Vehicles just walks all over this Pro Tour. But I could also see it going another direction. I could also see this being like the Teemer Aetherworks show. You know, and that's kind of like what we see like every time we've had a Pro Tour with Aetherworks Marvel involved. Like the pros are really always gravitating towards this card that cheats out like some like really large creature that just like makes everything else seem like just exiles all the problems.
Let's play the most unfair card we can play. Yeah, like I think Aetherworks is not going to be something to ignore. I think that there's something there with the Zombies deck. I think it'll be the best aggressive deck, because I don't look at the Mardu Vehicles deck as an aggressive deck. I look at it as just like a mid-range deck. And I could just be wrong in that the Heart of Kieran starts are so fast that it is an aggressive deck. And I'll admit that, because I don't think that's standard. I really just want to see if Alantrazi's blue-green ramp deck is as good as people are trying to make it out to be.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I'm sure someone will play it. Probably Alantrazi.
Yeah, I mean, of course. But I mean, I want to see if that deck's any good. Like, I don't know. I expect the most played card at the Pro Tour to be Gideon. Period. Like, just not even a discussion.
Sadly, that's probably going to be the case.
In which case, I'm going to wonder why they didn't ban this Joker when they banned all the sellers.
Now, what I want to happen, but I don't see it happening, is there's this really interesting like movement happening where we are like this catless copycat deck.
Yeah.
And we've got this blue, red, green, white Saheeli value deck. That basically is only in white for a cast out and a Tamiyo Field Researcher. It's basically like a Planeswalker, like a Teemer Planeswalker deck.
Okay.
And it's pretty cool. There are quite a few of these online now.
I'll buy it.
You got like a Servant of the Conduit, Manglehorn, Rogue Refiner, Whirler Virtuoso, Glorybringer. It's basically got like some energy elements to it. Nissa Stewart of the Elements, Saheeli Rai, Chandra, Tamio, Field Researcher, Aether, Attune with the Aether, 2 Traverse the Ovenwald, 4 Harness Lightning, 4 Oath of Nissa, 2 Oath of Chandra, and a Cast Out.
Alright, I'm in. I can take this.
Fun. It sounds like a lot of fun. Kind of like a mid-rangey, like, sort of value-y. Yeah.
I mean, is it a better mid-range deck than Mardu vehicles is my question.
Probably not, but it does have a lot of, like, anti-Mardu vehicles plans. Like, yeah. I mean, obviously, Manglehorn main deck is pretty anti-Mardu vehicles.
Yeah.
As is, like, Glorybringer and company. So.
Yeah, sorry. I don't disagree with you. Sorry, man, I can't help it. I don't disagree with you, but I think when you play a mid-range strategy like Black-Green or this Teemer Splash White or whatever you're playing as a strategy, you just have to ask yourself, do you really think it's better than Mardu Vehicles as a mid-range strategy?
Well, dropping a 3-mana Planeswalker with very little defense against Mardu Vehicles seems pretty not good.
Not the head-to-head matchup, because, like, it's not always going to be a head-to-head matchup. But do you think that you are incentivized over the course of the time you'll be playing that you'll get more out of Teemer plus Splash White, or you think just Mardu Vehicles will just be a better deck, consistency-wise?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But then the Black-White Zombies is kind of falling out of favor to Mono-Black, which just basically goes for consistency and plays more lands. I've been trying the Black-White Zombies deck, and it's really bottlenecking on 3. There's, like, a lot of 3-drops in that deck, as, like, pretty clear, like, when you look at it. But a lot of those lists are running, like, 19 and 20 lands, or 20 and 21 lands, which is super low. And I'm finding that you just get Mana Screwed a lot. But the Mono-Black version goes up to, like, 23 lands, so it can run, like, Liliana's Mastery in the main.
Always play more lands, man.
Which isn't bad, because when you're playing Crypt Breakers, you can pitch the lands and they become 2/2 zombies. And
yeah, it's not like, bad. Like, play more lands. Like, the way I build most of my decks, and this is how I've gotten into the deck of the habit of building decks like this way, is that I would build my deck with how many lands I thought I needed, and then I'd play another land, or I'd play 2 more lands.
Yeah.
Like, I learned that from playing a lot of Legacy, because, like, people would build these, like, 19-lane control decks and then get blown out because they had so many wasteland lands, they died of wasteland. So I was just like, all right, I need 21 lands in this deck with my Brainstorms and Ponders. You know, it's a control deck, I want to play 23. And so I just put 2 more lands in my deck.
Yeah, it's unbelievably difficult to make cuts to a tribal deck, though, which...
Yeah, I mean, it is. You're not wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong. Do it.
But in a deck like this, particularly this mono black one, it goes up to like 4 Relentless Dead. You've got like more mana sinks there. You've got like Dread Wanderer, like takes 3 mana. Like, it's pretty mana hungry, mana intensive. So,
yeah.
4 Dark Salvation, you know, like all the cards that you could scale down and do like the lesser versions of them, like in the lower land count version of the deck. Like, you might as well go bigger with the same cards and just, like, get more value out of the same cards and run more lands.
Yeah, so, in the mirror match, the person that tends to go a little bit bigger wins. So. Yeah.
So, Liliana is completely omitted from these decks, which is kind of interesting. I don't think Liliana is all that great right now.
She's not. She's only really good in the Delirium strategy, so I don't think the Delirium strategies are that good.
Yeah. Sadly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are my predictions in a nutshell. I don't know, they weren't really predictions at all. Just kind of my assessment of what I'm seeing. I haven't had too much experience in Standard, but I'll have more information for you by the time the Pro Tour rolls around. At that point, it'll be too late, because when we talk on Monday, it will already have happened. So we'll be talking about what we saw. But I look forward to that.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be fun. Absolutely.
Yeah. So hopefully we don't have just like a totally Mardu dominated weekend. I'm wishing for the best.
Yeah, good luck.
Here's to a weekend of variety and no Gideon. Please no Gideon.
I was going to say, we're going to get one of two things. We're going to get a weekend of variety, or we're going to get a Gideon ban. Either one is probably fine.
Yeah. That would be terrible.
So, I mean, but you know it's the truth. Like,
yeah, we're gonna have Gideon Summer.
Yeah, Gideon's great, man. Everybody loves Gideon.
All right, or it's gonna be Marvel Summer is what it's gonna be.
Oh yeah,
if it works, Summer. You heard it first, folks.
I'm in.
All right. Well, that's all we got for this week.
Yep.
So, all right. Talk to you later.
Later.
Card Knock Life is proud to be a part of mtgcast.com. We can be reached at cardknocklifepodcast.com or on Twitter at card_knock_life. We're always looking for more help in generating content for the website. And if you'd be interested in doing so, please email at cardknocklifepodcast@gmail.com.